And then, of course, before we start the interview, I'm going to have to ask both of you, do you consent to have us use everything in this interview for articles and for any other media?
Yep.
Sounds great. Mm-hmm. All right. So today we're here with Christopher Weir, aka Weir, and Daniel Longworth, aka Triple Set. Both are electronic musicians and the founders of New Something Records, and are also two CU Boulder alumni. They've known each other since the age of 12, and they grew up in the Bay Area together and went to CU together. All right. So with your new label, New Something Records, how do you describe its central philosophy? How do you describe kind of its mission?
I think we started out making music in college, both of us. We were really young, and when we started out, we didn't really know anybody who made music. Weir and I were living together sophomore year, and he and I were really the only two. Like, we kind of knew a few people, but there was no real sense of community amongst musicians, especially electronic musicians in Boulder, at least that we could tell. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of went on for like 2 or 3 years, maybe, where we were sort of just doing it by ourselves. And for me, I'd always longed to be a part of a community of artists where, you know, we could help each other, build each other up. And, you know, so I wouldn't be alone anymore. So that was kind of the spark for creating it. I was like, you know what, why not do it myself? And so,
yeah.
I told Weir about it. He was like, heck yeah. Told a few other buddies who make music about it. They're like, awesome. Like, jumped on board straight away. So yeah, it's definitely a collective, a record label by artists and for artists. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then just to touch on that too, like Dan said, I think a lot of it was we really wanted to branch out and start playing events, or, you know, go play the Fox or whatever it was, and we didn't really like know how to go about that. So we kind of eventually just started throwing our own parties, you know, like in college, and then once we actually formed and knew something, starting to throw much more legitimate events and actually incorporate like charity and sponsorships and go that kind of route. So I think a really big piece of it is not only building us up, but also kind of providing that outlet to showcase the talent that we have here in Boulder and Denver. Because as we've kind of gotten more into this brand and stuff, we've just met so many more people that are so talented that are dealing with pretty much the same kind of thing, where they don't know how to get their music out and they don't know how to get into a situation where they can perform and stuff. So I think that's a really, really big piece of the business for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So New Something is kind of providing almost a means for entry for electronic artists.
Yeah. And we'd like to think of ourselves as a resource for music lovers. And that's like what our content is really directed towards. It's people who love music, especially electronic music, and people who are open to discovering new artists. So I think that's a big piece of the puzzle too.
And with that, you have the New Something blog on your website. What kind of content do you usually aim for with that blog? Is there any specific focuses you have when it comes to contents, or anything specific you have in mind that you want to write about within kind of the general sphere of music?
Yeah, good question. So I do most of the blog writing and managing, and so far we've done a lot of interviews and other sort of informative articles about our artists and also some of the things that we've been doing. We touched a little bit on like stuff in the greater, going on in the greater music world. We did an article that listed a bunch of great live stream sets that were happening like at the start of COVID and stuff like that. So we're trying to branch into more, I guess we're going to keep doing the artist focused stuff, but also branch into more of that, what's going on in the greater music world, especially Colorado. Mm-hmm.
Now, both of you are musicians who are under New Something as well. Of course, Chris, you're under the name Weir, as per your last name. Mm-hmm. And Daniel, you're under the name Triple Set. Now, how did you both get your start in kind of in music? And then how did you get your start under your current stage names, under your current performing acts? What was the what's the story there?
Go ahead.
So I've been playing and performing music almost as long as I can remember. Started taking piano lessons when I was 4, picked up clarinet a few years later, and then I switched to guitar when I was 12. Started playing in some bands with friends and playing covers. And then I didn't really get into recording music until college. So I was like a freshman in my dorm at CU, I was in Baker Hall. And yeah, I had my laptop and some headphones and that was it. And I was like trying to make beats and I was failing for a while. I was like, why can't I do this? I know how to play music. Like, and it took me a good few months to even make a beat. But I think once I made my first beat, that was when like the spark of passion was ignited in me. It was like, oh my God, like this is amazing. I just made something, you know? And so from there, it just became an addiction. It was just like, you know, honestly, maybe it's a little bad to say, but I was like skipping homework sometimes to make music, you know? It's just like, or like, I'd be like, oh, I'm not going to class today. I'm going to make music. So it sort of took over my life. And before long, I was releasing and I tried out a couple different stage names and found Triple Set fit me. So yeah.
Yeah. As far as my end goes, very similar. Also grew up kind of playing guitar and some drums and some took some percussion classes in high school and played around in some bands and stuff. And my oldest brother actually was getting into like DJing electronic music and stuff. So he was showing me some things when I was like middle school, early high school, and started kind of diving into that music and was really, really excited about it. But kind of like Dan too, it wasn't really until college I started going to the Fox Theater and Boulder Theater and Red Rocks and seeing like live electronic music, not necessarily just DJing, just blew my mind, you know, because I'd always been playing guitar and that kind of thing. So to see people playing electronic music with like a drum kit or actual instruments and stuff was super cool. And then ended up moving into an apartment with Dan the following year. And one of our buddies brought his DJ controller over for like our parties that we were throwing and eventually just kind of left it there. And Dan and I just like played with that thing like crazy. And he started to get into making his own music and I was kind of more focused on DJing. And then over the last couple of years, we've slowly kind of gravitated towards the other way where like now I'm making a lot of music and Dan's getting a lot more into DJing and stuff. And I think like around that time is really like when we started to go with New Something and actually getting that going. And yeah, as far as the name goes, it was literally just like, that's my name. That's easy. You know, like everybody already calls me Weir. So, but yeah, like I mentioned earlier, it was just a matter of throwing our own parties and just starting that kind of scene, you know, cause we couldn't get into these venues or anything. And we'd throw a party at our house and somebody would come up to us after and be like, hey, can you DJ at my house next weekend? And kind of just funneled from there. So.
What was it like performing and kind of DJing those parties? How was that experience?
You can speak more to that, at least at the start.
Really wild for sure. We actually hosted a lot of parties at my house, which was a pretty small apartment with like kind of a big living room, but we literally put a piece of plywood over our sink. And then all of our DJ gear and the speakers and everything just going out of the kitchen and basically had like a DJ booth in the kitchen. And, you know, we had times where we had probably close to 100 people in like a pretty small little room and stuff. So definitely very nervous the first few times, but at the same time, it was kind of the perfect opportunity for us because, you know, all the people coming over, a lot of them are just like friends and stuff. So it's a very supportive kind of community. And even the strangers, kids that we hadn't met before, everybody's just stoked on live music and DJing and like that kind of vibe and stuff. So I think that was really helpful to just kind of get the name out and get some experience also before we started hopping into some actual venues and stuff.
Now, you mentioned that, Chris, you're doing a lot more making music now, and Daniel, you're doing a lot more DJing. But with creating music, what's the kind of creative process with that like? How do you go about making music and then performing it?
So we both use a software program called Ableton Live, which is called a digital audio workstation. So that happens inside your computer. So we record everything into there. As far as like our individual creative processes, I mean, everyone's different for sure. But for me, I like to explore different sounds and see what I gravitate towards. And then usually it'll be like something like a melody or a bass line or a drum loop or something like that. It sparks my interest. And then from there, I'll build out the other layers of the track into a full song. I use a bunch of different instruments, mainly synthesizers. I have a couple hardware synthesizers and some guitars as well.
As I think like Dan said, everybody kind of has their own way to like approach and work efficiently and like develop their workflow and stuff. For me, I think a lot of the time it's kind of like a spark thing where, like Dan said, I kind of just start throwing things down, you know, like almost treating it like throwing paint at the canvas kind of thing and seeing what sticks. And at a certain point into that process, I'll start to click with the project or I won't. And if I'm really feeling it, it almost is like the music is kind of guiding me to where it needs to go. Where, you know, I might be starting out making a fast clubhouse track or something, and an hour into making it, I'm like, oh, what does this sound like slower, you know, and pitch it or bring it down by like 20 beats and end up really, really liking that. And like I said, it's not really as much me being like, oh, I want this to be slow. It's really just kind of navigating and like working with the song and seeing where it needs to go. And I think it's a very like passive kind of process for me. So,
yeah. I can definitely speak to that a little bit as well. I'd call it a flow state.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like you get in there and all of a sudden like 3 hours have gone by.
It feels like 5 minutes.
And it feels like exactly.
Yeah.
So that's a similarity for a lot of artists. Yeah. I think, but yeah.
So part of the reason you started this label, as you had mentioned a little bit earlier, is kind of like trying to find your way in the music scene. And when we talked a few weeks ago, you also mentioned that you didn't really feel kind of at place in the music scene. Do you feel like there's any reasons like why you didn't feel kind of like you fit into the music scene? Do you feel like there's any specific reasons behind that looking back now? Or was it just kind of the same struggle to kind of get into the industry?
I don't know. It's sort of like when you start at a new school and maybe, you know, at first it's like you kind of meet other cool people, but you're just like, I don't know if I'm fully gelling with this person, or like, you know, it can be tough sometimes to break out in any kind of scene, I'd say. Like when we started making music, it's like, are we really doing this? You know, and like we'd meet more serious artists and they'd be like, you know, intimidating. For those first couple of years where we were really starting, I think it is a blend of things, but you know, it's like, we were all going to shows and stuff, but like we weren't meeting many other musicians. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. And I think too, like beyond not meeting musicians and stuff, like at the end of the day to get an opening slot at any of these venues, it's really a lot about, you know, getting your foot in the door, you know, and like having that talent buyer know who you are or have some relationship with you. And I think that was something that was really, really tough for a while because we didn't really even know that many musicians or producers. So to try and meet the guy booking the actual shows and stuff was just really foreign for us. And I think that's a lot of why we were like, let's just do our own parties. And, you know, eventually that led to all of us actually playing at Fox Theater, Boulder Theater, Larimer Lounge, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I think a lot of it is just like a level of access or not really knowing how to get that foot in the door.
Yeah. And I think once we, like you were saying, just going off of that, like, once we started doing our own events and stuff like that, that's when people started gravitating towards us, you know. Mm-hmm. That's when, like, we started to magnetize like-minded artists and art lovers. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of it too. It's like, once you actually start throwing events and like getting people together, that's when, you know, some magic can really happen.
Mm-hmm. So kind of what was it like when you first decided to start this label? What was kind of the moment where you realized like, hey, this is something we want to do? And what kind of, I guess, pushed you to that point where it's like, hey, we want to make our own label now? What were the driving forces behind that?
I had the idea like several months before I even pitched it to Chris. And I just wasn't sure when the right time would be, or if it was a great idea, or if he would like the name New Something, or, you know, there's a lot of thoughts in my mind, like, you know, is this going to work? But yeah, it was like this moment where I think I picked you up from the airport, and it was the start of spring semester, and I don't know, some like big life events had just happened, and things were a little, I think, I don't want to speak for you too much. But like things were a little up in the air for Chris.
Yeah.
And I saw like, this could be something really huge for him, you know, to like bounce back from these difficult experiences that had just happened. And when I did, it was just like electric, you know, it was just like a magic moment.
Yeah.
Like I can pretty much remember that vividly, just saying like, yeah, I have this idea, we should like do this label thing. The name is New Something. He's like, New Something. That's really good. but yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to speak to that more.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely was going through a really rough patch. Don't want to get too much into it, but just complicated time in my life, I would say, relationship wise and just friends and just stuff like that. And yeah, like in the heap of all that, Dan just approached me and was like, yeah, like, what about doing this, you know? And I think the level that we hit with that was really like, we had been doing some parties and stuff in college and stuff, but this was like the first time where we were really like, hey, let's actually build something here. Let's meet every week. Let's throw events, like not just house parties. And, you know, pretty much, I think in the first week or two that we even talked about the idea, I got connected with one of my buddies that owned a hammock company and another company, or another buddy that runs ran the marketing for a CBD company. And so we were like, hey, let's do, you know, hammock festival in the woods and serve CBD to everybody and have all this live music and like deck it out and do all this and that, and decided to throw some pre-party events to promote it. And it was really one of those things where Dan was like, hey, let's do this. And then all of a sudden everything kind of just started to fall into place. And I think that's been a huge motivating factor for us, and just seeing we launched in March and by July, we already threw our festival and had over 100 people there, raised $1,000 for the Children's Home Project. And it's just really a big confidence boost, I think, all around, and just kind of showing us like, hey, we can do this. We can throw our own parties. We can bring on other artists. We can give them a place to do their thing. And yeah.
So with the artists you work with, a lot of them, are electronic based or more electronic artists. Do you feel that you would want New Something to be, or do you want New Something to be a mostly electronic label, or would you be open to other genres of music being under New Something?
I think the core of our brand is electronic music, but we all love different kinds of music, like all different kinds of music. You know, Chris made a song with a friend of ours who's a folk singer-songwriter, and she provided really amazing vocals for an electronic track. You know, I've worked with hip-hop artists in the past, and that's something I'm continuing to do. So I think we're open to other genres for sure. but I don't think we're going to be going like super left field anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're open-minded.
Yeah, I feel like that's super spot on. Like definitely electronic core, especially for our events and stuff. You know, I think it's important to book artists that kind of fit together. So if we were like having like a folk artist amidst a bunch of like house and techno, that obviously wouldn't make too much sense. But I think as time goes on, you know, maybe we can start throwing events that are that kind of realm, you know, like more singer-songwriter. But I think like Dan said, it's something that we've kind of talked about and considered, but something for a later time probably, and really focus on electronic for now.
And with your events, so in an interview with Voyage Denver, you said that you're never just trying to throw a party with your events. And you mentioned a little bit about kind of like some charitable efforts earlier in that same article. You also mentioned kind of spending hours on set design and visuals. Mm-hmm. Now, with these events, can you expand just a little bit on just never just trying to throw a party? Can you just go a little more into kind of the philosophy you have around events?
I guess like in general, you know, we started throwing parties in college, and at the end of the day, anybody can throw a party, and we had plenty of those, and there's a lot of value and fun to be had in those kind of things. But I think it's really important that we represent ourselves really, really well, so that if anybody comes to any of our events, they're thoroughly wowed by the production or the visuals or the lasers, whatever it is that we're doing. We really spend a lot of time to like actually curate an experience. It's not just like, oh, everybody come over and we're going to like play music and kind of haphazardly throw a party. We really spend a lot of time to design the stage, make sure we have a VJ and decorate the whole space. And like you mentioned too, incorporating philanthropy where we can. So I think there's a lot of record labels and stuff like that in Colorado, but I don't think there's many that are really throwing events and stuff. And if they are, they're typically just in venues and kind of standardized. So I think that's something that we strive for, is to throw really unique curated experiences to wow people and really have them hopefully coming back, you know?
Any favorite events you all have thrown so far?
High Hopes for sure.
High Hopes, definitely.
Yeah.
We wanted to do another one this year, but you know,
COVID. Yeah.
But yeah, we secured a space up in the mountains, a place called Pickle Gulch, rented out the whole campground, spoke with the officials there to make sure it was okay. And everything was greenlit, ready to go. And that was actually the one where we had the hammocks set up in the trees around the stage. We had probably 100, 150 people there.
Yeah.
Everybody camped out afterwards. It was really, really special. And just the whole production that we put on, mm-hmm. having sponsors, raising money for the High Hopes, or raising money for the Children's Home Project. All those things made it really, really special. Yeah.
And
I could go on and on about that. It was really fun.
Yeah.
I believe it was after that event, you had a lot of the attendees gathered together around a campfire, right?
Yeah.
So would you say that there was a strong sense of community with that event?
Yeah, absolutely. We had 7 artists, I believe, on the bill, most of which were from our label, and then a couple of other local friends that we had, which I think was really cool to, one, bring out fans and friends of every artist and stuff, and like you said, having that campfire at the end of the night where we could all hang out and get to know other people like that, and really just like look back on the day of like, wow, we really did this, you know, and like had that kind of vibe at the end of the night, just to sit there and share some laughs and some good times. So I think
hands of tunes.
Yeah, exactly.
We got some guitars and some singing. It was fun.
It was great.
So now with these events, what do you feel like your biggest accomplishments have been overall with New Something? What would you put kind of at the top for your biggest accomplishments?
I guess I think like all of us starting to actually like get into the scene, I think, has been huge. Like I think High Hopes Fest is like massive for us, and that was really, really cool. But it was really like through all the promotion of that, and then after that, where, you know, Dan got his first show at Larimer Lounge, and I got to play Larimer earlier that spring, and our friend Harris, who goes by Dirty Harry, got to open for Mala and for Chris Lake, like 2 months apart, his favorite artists pretty much in the world. So it was really that level, I think, of all of us just a year or two ago being like, how do we get to play shows? And now we're playing shows, or we were before all of this. So
yeah, and another part was like, how do we get our music online? Mm-hmm. How do we get it on Spotify, Apple Music, everywhere? And now, you know, we all have it wherever you stream music. Mm-hmm. So that's huge. It feels good.
And so you mentioned kind of getting that music online. And you've mentioned a little bit about the effects of COVID throughout the interview. But how has New Something been affected overall by COVID as part of the live music industry? How has it changed your operations now? What are you doing differently?
We were planning on throwing our first event in Denver in May. That was going to be a full showcase of our entire roster, really deck it out with the decorations and have the VJ and everything. And that was kind of going to be promoting the High Hopes Fest round two that we were going to host in Boulder, actually. So all of that kind of came to a halt in like March or April. And since then, I think, at least for myself and with New Something and stuff, really been focusing on setting like the foundation of getting our online store up, updating the website, and really developing our online presence, both for the brand and for all of our artists and stuff. So really bummed that we didn't get to do these events, but at the same time, I think it really gave us a good opportunity to actually build out some strategy for all of our artists and the brand as a whole.
Yeah, definitely. As much as it sucks that we can't play shows in person right now, it's been great to do some live stream events, really work hard on the blog, get our content, you know, looking A1, and yeah, you know, it's affected us in the sense that, you know, we can't go play shows, make money, but we have more time to focus on the other things that we can do, you know? Mm-hmm.
Now with what you've seen so far, now that you've become more of a part of the music industry, how have you seen kind of these effects from COVID rippling through the music industry? Kind of what have you seen from your perspective?
I mean, I think venues everywhere are just struggling so, so hard, which really sucks to see, because I think especially for us, you know, like these are all the venues that we've been going to for so long and also even playing at. So it's been really tough to kind of see that state of like the whole industry and stuff. But I think, I don't know, I'm optimistic as far as like the return to live music and being able to do that. But I think it's definitely going to be quite some time before that's really feasible or safe to do. But other than that, I mean, I think like we kind of talked about, I think it really gives opportunities to a lot of artists like us that aren't necessarily touring yet. You know, like I think people that are already touring and in it, they're hurting a lot more as far as like with their management, their agency, they have a lot of these ties, where for us, we kind of are in more of a position where we're like, oh, okay, we can't throw events, but we can still keep building and keep working on what we're doing and stuff. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, just playing off of that, I think, you know, not to go too deep about the music industry, but the fact that, you know, music sales are at an all-time low and the streaming is more or less taken over completely. That brings the revenue streams from the music that we make. It brings our profits pretty substantially. You know, we're not making much money off of our streams, and so the one big way you can make money as an artist, or the way it has been at least for the last few years, one big way is to go on tour and play as many shows as you can every single year. And I, you know, this is just a hunch, but I have a feeling there's going to be some sort of a shift in the music business, in order for it to even stay alive. Because having a whole year where we haven't had live shows has just been a wake-up call for thousands of artists and people who work in the industry who now have no job and no way to make money. So I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll see an evolution of the music industry in the next few years. You know, through the hurt, it's going to be hard for some time, but cautiously optimistic we'll see a rebound. And we'd love to be a part of it. I feel like we're in a good position right now as young artists and people in the record business to make the change that we want to see. So
now, alongside COVID and some of the barriers to entry you faced trying to get into the music industry, what have some of New Something's biggest challenges been thus far?
Aside from COVID or just in general? Or
In general, what do you think the biggest challenges you've faced so far would be?
I think just like the lack of like live shows and ability to actually build community and stuff recently, because that was really what got the brand off the ground and got us really stoked to keep this moving and stuff. So, you know, not being able to do that really at any capacity, I think has been really tough, but at the same time, an opportunity to learn how to do these live streams and incorporate visuals and, you know, film sets outside, like out in Aspen, like I did with my buddy Moonwatchers a few weeks ago. So yeah, I think it's just tough.
Now with the future, looking ahead now, well, of course, Daniel, you mentioned that you feel like there might be a shift in the music industry and how it's been hard going almost a year without live shows. What plans does New Something have for the future as you kind of continue to build the brand and build the label? Kind of what plans do you have in the near future?
I think it's important for us to continue to build our online presence as much as possible. And I think the live streams are huge. Mm-hmm. Even though everyone says they're sick of live streams, we've done some pretty amazing videos. Mm-hmm. And I think by, you know, lining ourselves up, you know, really well in that digital space should set us up pretty nicely once live music comes back. You know, we're going to be building our artist brand, individual artist brands, and New Something brand, and hopefully the timing aligns nicely once shows come back, so that we can, you know, really hit it hard.
Yeah,
but it's tough right now because we can't really plan an event, you know, right now, because there's no real timeline at the moment, unfortunately.
Now, both of you are CU alumni. Now, when it comes down to it, how has your CU background influenced the label? I know you had mentioned that you had thrown those parties when you were first getting started out, but how else would you say kind of your time at CU affected New Something? How is it kind of had its influence on the label?
I think one piece is I studied strategy and entrepreneurship at Leeds, the business school.
Sorry, give me a second. I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
Okay.
Having a little trouble hearing you. Sorry, one moment. Here, just gonna try.
All right.
Me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. All good now. Sorry about that issue. So as we were saying, CU's influence on New Something.
Yeah. So I studied strategy and entrepreneurship at Leeds. So I got to take a bunch of classes surrounding how to build a business and scale a business and digital marketing, stuff like that, which I think really helped line me up to kind of get into more entrepreneurial kind of things and my first job out of college and learning from there to kind of pull in a New Something for, you know, actually building a strategy and actually trying to form a company. But yeah, beyond that, I think just you know, Boulder is such an awesome and lively town filled with so many people that love so much different kind of music, which I think is really, really powerful as far as like, you know, we threw these parties and stuff going through college and stuff, but there's always shows at the Fox and at Boulder Theater where like, no matter what you're into, you can find something to go see. You know what I mean? Like there might be bluegrass at the Fox, but then there might be, you know, Chris Lake and Dirty Harry at Boulder Theater. So I think having such a wide variety of music available really is just powerful for artists to kind of break into that scene, you know, and have like-minded like individuals around, you know, that resonate with your music, whatever kind of style it is. So I think there's the variety available in Boulder is really, really huge. That, I mean, even just finding it through CU and meeting other kids that listen to so much different stuff.
Yeah, I think, like you said, the music scene here is phenomenal. It's underrated, not only in Boulder, but also Denver. And, you know, as a freshman, sophomore especially, I was going to a ton of shows, and that's how I made a lot of my really close friends. And also, not only that, I'm pretty sure everybody but one person on our team went to see you, right? Did Chris Gerber go to see you?
Yeah, he did.
So everyone on our team went to see you.
Yeah.
You know, it really is a CU label if you think about it. You know, it's like this is where it was born here in Boulder. Mm-hmm.
For sure. Even going off of that too, one of our artists, Amity, that we brought onto the team last year, one of the classes I took at Leeds was a business development course where we partnered with engineers from the engineering school to build a product or a business. And my friend Jorgen, that I knew through the ski team, ended up being in my class and we kind of hit it off. I kind of knew him and we knew we were both kind of working on music and stuff, but it's crazy to think we had this hybrid engineering business course and then that eventually led to them playing at High Hopes and then actually joining the team, and they're, you know, fully involved in everything that we're doing now. So I think like Dan said, just the amount of like connections and stuff that we made through CU and the music community there was really, really powerful just to get it going.
Music electives too.
Yeah.
Music electives are the best. Like neither of us studied music as a major, you know, but we took, once we found out that there are cool music electives, like we took a music theory class together and met a bunch of people who are making music, you know? So there's a lot of opportunity out there to meet other artists and like-minded people at CU, for sure.
Do you think moving forward, you would want to keep the label focused on CU?
Maybe not focused completely on CU, but we would love to get more artists from CU. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, as we grow, we'd like to expand our brand, you know, throughout the country and hopefully worldwide. And so, you know, CU will always be a part of our history and it will always be a part of each and every member of the team. And so hopefully we'll find loads of other artists coming out of Boulder as well. So fingers crossed.
And you mentioned how you would want the label to grow a moment ago there. So what's your biggest goal right now for New Something? What's kind of the goal you're setting for yourselves for this label?
I think at the end of the day, all of us want to do music professionally, whether that's touring or producing for other artists or for yourself, whatever that route looks like for all of us as individuals. I think that's really just the goal, is we want to do this full time and put in every ounce of whatever we can into our music and into New Something and make this be what we do for a living, rather than, you know, trying to squeeze in time to work on it amidst all of our jobs and careers that we already have going on.
Yeah. You kind of nailed it.
And what's it like managing kind of a label alongside your other careers? What's that look like?
Erratic. Really I don't know. It's something to like really look forward to and something to really focus on that gets me excited. I'm working currently on 3 different brands right now outside of New Something just for my jobs and stuff. But New Something and music is that thing that's really keeping me going. Like I'm down to sit in my room and work from home all day just so I can have a couple hours to work on our agenda for the meeting or even, you know, do some video editing or make some music, whatever it is.
Yeah, no matter how busy you are, as long as you have that passion, I feel like the energy is always going to be there. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't sleep sometimes when I haven't made music. It's like, I got to scratch the itch.
Yeah.
And New Something, too.
Yeah.
You know? Equally passionate about it.
That comes to the end of the questions that I have right now. But is there anything else you would want to say to our audience? Is there anything you'd like to leave for them as a last note, or is there anything else you would want to discuss or tell them?
I guess just check us out on like Instagram at New Something Records, as well as our website, newsomething.com. We're definitely looking to expand our roster over this next year for releases and guest mixes and hopefully even events or live streams. So yeah, we'd love to find some more local talent that we could tap into. We have a submissions page right on our website. So yeah.
Yeah, I guess the last bit I would say is if you're an artist at CU, don't stop making music. Don't stop doing your creative thing. Like whatever it is, you know, like, you know, if you feel a fire starting to burn in you, keep fueling it.
All right. Thank you both for talking with us today.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your time.